That is really a pretty hymn. I was thinking that earlier this morning. It's just, the words are just beautiful, aren't they? Well, speaking of love, just about everyone, even if you don't admit it, loves a love story. I know some of you are saying, not me, but I think maybe. And I would bet that many of us have heard of these great love stories. Romeo and Juliet, Anna Karenina, that's a pretty classic one. Pride and Prejudice, I know I'm going back here. Wuthering Heights, Casablanca. Oh, I hear, ooh. Yeah. Antony and Cleopatra. And how about more recently, Rose and Jack on the Titanic? I've seen that like 100 times. Alice and Noah in The Notebook. Ever seen that movie? Awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, you have to see it. Or in real life, Amal and George Clooney, like the perfect couple. For young folks in here, Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth. You guys are like, what? Who's that? Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Yeah, oh yay, yeah, good for them. Who doesn't love a great love story, right? So that got me wondering, what is the greatest love story ever told? I think if we asked 10 people, we'd probably get 8 or 9 different answers. And that's because we each view love just a little bit differently. Since our point of view and our perspective has a great impact on our understanding of the world, we're probably going to need to dig a little bit deeper into this question before we really come up with an answer of what's the greatest love story. So the thing about love, and especially our need for love, our need for acceptance, is it originates from a very basic need of just being known. We have a need of being fully known and completely bonded to another human being or a community, a group of people. Now, of course, we are all different in how much community and togetherness we desire. Some of us like to be alone, too, sometimes. But some of us would identify as loners. Some might say that you're an introvert, or maybe you're an extrovert. Some are socially awkward, and some are social butterflies. But regardless of how much togetherness we need or want, we each have this need to be known and loved. It's a part of us. We seek friendships. We look for groups where we feel bonded together in some common way and appreciated and cared for. We dream of finding the perfect partner or being a part of a family or a circle of friends with whom we do life. We long to be known and loved. Now, since the very beginning, we have been created to live in community with one another and with God. In the second chapter of Genesis, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, a companion." And so from the dirt, God formed the animals and the birds and all living creatures. But this still was not enough. God knew we needed more companionship, more community. So God created another human being as a companion so that we could live forever in community with one another, knowing and being known, loving and being loved. Now, Scripture is all about community. In Leviticus, God chose the Israelites and he said, "And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people." And then they were in community together. They worshiped God together in community. Then in the New Testament, following the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ, God instituted the church, the body of Christ, as a community of believers. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Some of us might know the author C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis understood this sense of community and the need to be known that we have and be connected with others. He wrote, "We are born helpless, and as soon as we are fully conscious, we discover loneliness. We need others physically, emotionally, intellectually. We need them if we are to be known or to know anything, even ourselves." That's what he wrote. So today's scripture takes this notion of knowing and loving and being in community to a different level. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and expressing the closest possible sense of community and being known. Interestingly enough, his illustration involves sheep. He's explaining to the Pharisees that he is the only true shepherd, and his flock, his community, fully knows him, even simply at the sound of his voice. So we're going to look at the Gospel of John today, chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." It's the word of God for us, the people of God. Now, the sheep do not just simply know the shepherd in the sense of recognizing his voice. They do recognize his voice, but there's more. Those of us who are dog owners know that when we call our dogs, they definitely respond. They know our voice. They recognize our voice. But in the sense of the shepherd and the sheep, it's a stronger connection. They actually partake of one another. You know, that sounds a little strange, but they are almost a part of one another. And in the same way, the Son partakes of the nature of the Father as part of the Holy Trinity. That's what the scripture says. Jesus says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Interesting. The word that's translated here as to know, it means much more than to simply have knowledge of something or someone. We might know, how to play basketball or how to bake a cake, or we might know the guy down the street. But this is not that same word for knowing that Jesus uses here in this passage. Here, the word to know invokes a sense of growing and continually developing and expanding one's knowledge of something or someone else. And maybe even more importantly, it refers to an intimate relationship that involves deep, deep feelings of love. Jesus has this connection to his sheep. And those sheep, of course, are us. You know, in biblical times, as well as today, in some really remote areas of the world where shepherds work and live in an ancient way still, shepherds and sheep have a strong and even mysterious bond. There's a loving regard, there's compassionate recognition and trust. The shepherd knows each sheep as an individual. Isn't that unbelievable? Even though to us they're going to look pretty much the same, I can't tell one sheep from the other. The shepherd knows and can recognize the individual characteristics of each sheep. Sort of like how a parent of identical triplets can tell them apart, but we are like, "What? Is that Bob? Is that Billy? I don't know. We can't figure it out." Now let's face it, sheep are not the most intelligent animals in the world. They're wonderful animals, but not the most intelligent. But even so, they know and they recognize the shepherd. And believe it or not, these sheep with limited brain capacity cannot be fooled. Somebody somewhere decided to experiment with this, trying to fool the sheep. I think they had too much time on their hands, but they would wear the shepherd's garments to see if the sheep would recognize them as a shepherd. But the sheep were not fooled. They would not follow the voice of the imposter. There is a unique bond of loving and knowing between the shepherd and the sheep. Just as there is a bond of knowing and being known between Jesus and the Father. And there's this same bond between Jesus and us. A bond of being known and knowing, being loved and loving. In a sense, that's really kind of mind-boggling when you think about it. As a part of the body of Christ, our relationship with Jesus is the same. Think about this, the same as Jesus' relationship to the Trinity, to God and the Holy Spirit. Our relationship is that same perfectness. But still, even in realizing this, our human minds, we continue to have this basic innate need of being known and loved. And our lives are lived in an attempt to satisfy that need. This need is universal, too. It's not just us. In philosophy, there's a theory called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it's depicted as a pyramid, and it looks like this. I know some of the words are hard to read, but I'm going to explain it. The very base of the pyramid, the big part on the bottom, depicts our basic needs in life. Food, water, shelter, rest. We have to have those to survive, right? And once those needs are met, the next one up that's just a little bit smaller is our need to feel safe and secure, our safety needs. But right after that, the next level of need in every human being is belongingness and love. It is to be known and loved. And right after that is the need, it says esteem needs in the blue, the light blue. That's the need for prestige and a feeling of accomplishment in ourselves. Both of those middle levels of need relate to being known, admired, and loved. So our need to be known is right above our need to eat, have shelter, and feel safe. It's pretty basic to our DNA. You know, I was at annual conference a couple of weeks ago. It's the yearly conference of the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church. So, you know, pastors from all over the state are there, lay people from all over the state. And my hotel was about 15 minutes away from the conference venue. So, of course, on my way there, I had to stop at Starbucks and get a cup of coffee. So I went into Starbucks. They didn't have a drive-thru. Like, can you believe they didn't have a drive-thru? First world problems, right? So I had to go inside Starbucks, believe it or not. So I go inside, and I come out, and I get in my car, my vehicle. It's parked right in near the entrance, and I'm getting myself situated. And walking out of Starbucks is this pastor, really, really well-known pastor of a huge church in Cape Coral, multi-campuses. His name is George Acevedo. And he's an author, and he's a well-known speaker, really kind of guy that, like, everybody wants to be George Acevedo. So George walks out, and he goes, "Hey!" And he's waving. I'm like, "What? Who's he waving at? It's me?" So I'm like, "Hi, George, how are you?" I mean, it was through the window, so we weren't saying anything. We were just waving. So I'm like, "Wow, George Acevedo knew me. What did I do? How did he know me?" So I'm driving, feeling really good about that. I get to conference. I park my car in the parking lot. I get out, and I realize I'm driving the church van. It says Ocala West, United Methodist Church, all over the van. George Acevedo doesn't know me. He knows Ocala West, United Methodist Church. And that was proved by the fact that later on that day, I walked right by him and he had no idea who I was. Wow. You know, it felt so good that George Acevedo knew who I was for those fleeting seconds until he didn't know who I was. Then I was pretty deflated. But anyway, of course, this is just a really funny illustration of our need to be known, right? On a more serious note, earlier in my life, I looked for this love and acceptance, as the song goes, in all the wrong places. I wanted to be noticed. I wanted people to like me. I wanted people to see how good I was at whatever I was doing. I wanted to be loved. And I had this basic need that longed to be filled. But the recognition and the attention that I got was not because people loved or admired me, but because it was fun to have me around and I filled some basic need in them. And in the end, the attention was short-lived, was fleeting, and it was without any depth at all. Some of us might seek to be known by the wrong people and in unhealthy ways in order to fill this need. Some of us work really hard to prove that we don't need anyone, that we have all the answers. We can do it all on our own, and we can be successful in everything we do without any help. Some of us understand our need to be known and loved, and we turn to God for help. But we still don't, might not feel completely loved and accepted and known. So what do we do? How do we ultimately satisfy our need to be in relationship, to be loved, to love others in return, to have meaningful and lasting relationships? Well, the answer, I think, may very well be found in the last verse of today's scripture, when Jesus says, "And I lay down my life for the sheep." Shepherds today don't often find it necessary to lay down their lives for their sheep. But in biblical times, they did. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel, when David was preparing to fight the giant Goliath, he said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb from the flock. I went out after him and I attacked him and I rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." David was prepared to lay down his life for the lamb. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep, for us, and gave us all entrance into the flock of God, where we are fully known and fully loved by the shepherd. Laying down one's life for someone else is all about love, isn't it? It must be. And to be loved is to be known. Let me say that again. To be loved is to be known. From the beginning of time, we were and we are fully known and loved by Christ. God came to this earth as Jesus incarnate, fully human and fully God, to save us, but also to show us how much we were already known and loved. There's a German pastor, there was a German pastor in the early 1900s named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he was a theologian too. And he said, "To be known by God supplies comfort and instills significance." That to be known thing is to be significant. Augustine, who was a bishop in the 5th century, said, "They sometimes do not know themselves, but the shepherd knows them." How often do I really not know myself? But God knows me. God knows you. Oh, how I wish that someone had told me this when I was younger, so many years ago, when I was feeling unloved and unworthy and unknown. I wish that I had realized that no matter what I did or I didn't do, what I said or I didn't say, who I loved or didn't love, that God already knew me and loved me. You know, I'm quite sure that God was trying to tell me this, but it was so much easier to look for recognition and love in other places and in other ways. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "But whoever loves God is known by God." Could it really be that simple? Is there no big equation? It's just that simple. We are already known and loved, and we were before the beginning of time. The only choice we need to make is to accept that love and to love God in return. We have nothing to prove. We have no one to please, no love to earn. To love God is to be known. And when we realize that we are known, we, this insignificant being, we are known and fully known by God and loved, we have to also realize the full meaning of that concept. It can't stop there. If I am fully known and loved by God, simply because I love God, then every human being on this planet is fully known and loved by God. Every human being. Therefore, to know and to love God is to know and to love all of those whom God knows and loves. It's a big, big, tall order. This means that the community of God extends way beyond the walls of this church. The same love and acceptance that God offers me, I am called to extend to all others, no matter who they are, how they live, where they were born, what they have done, or even what they're doing. I am so incredibly moved by a new church that our district, the North Central District of the United Methodist Church in Florida, has just chartered. It's a church inside the walls of a women's prison in Redick, Florida. The largest women's prison in the country is in this county. And why am I so moved, and why is that so important? Because all are known and loved by God. Just as God has known and loved us before the formation of the world, God has known and loved all of God's children. We are called to do the same thing, to express the same level of love and acceptance to others. As the sheep, we are known and loved by the shepherd. Just as God and the shepherd are one, we are one with God and with one another. Charlie Brown, bet you weren't expecting that. Charlie Brown and Lucy often talked about this need we all have to be known and loved. Charlie Brown once said to Lucy, "Nobody likes me, Lucy. Everyone hates me. See that plane up there full of people going somewhere else? That's what I'd like to do. I want to go somewhere else where no one knows me. I want to start all over again. I want to get a fresh start with people who don't know me." And Lucy responded, "Forget it, Charlie Brown. Once the new people got to know you, you'd be right back where you started." Leave it to Lucy, right? Aren't we often like Charlie Brown? We want to be known. But when we are known, we wish we had done it differently and that we could start all over again. Well, here's the best news you're going to hear today and probably the rest of the week. We can start all over again. Our lives, our souls, our eternity were ransomed by Christ. Yes, we all have this need to be known, to be loved, to be in relationship with God and others, but we're going to make mistakes in seeking to fill that need. It's just going to happen. But God, through Jesus incarnate, has paid the price for us. And our inheritance is a new life in Christ. A second, a third, a fourth, a 100th chance to try again. So what is the greatest love story ever told? It's a story that involves a love so deep that the creator of the universe was willing to become flesh and take on the sins of the world in order to redeem each and every one of us and to pull us back into relationship with him. It's a story of the ultimate sacrifice of laying down one's life for someone else. It's a story of knowing and being fully known. It's a story of hope, redemption, reconciliation. It's a story of deep commitment and abiding love that will last through eternity. It's a story that begins and ends with these words: "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that those who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It's my prayer when we leave this place today that we will all remember this. We each are fully known and fully loved, and that we will each seek to share this love and acceptance with another who really, really needs it. Will you pray with me? Oh God, Father in heaven, creator of all, our need for love and acceptance is sometimes overwhelming. And often, God, this need steers us in the wrong direction. And we believe the lies of the enemy who tells us that we are unworthy and unloved. We sometimes seek recognition and affection in ways that separate us from you, God. But we are so thankful, so grateful, God, that no matter what we do, you never give up on us. You have known and loved us before the beginning of time. We thank you, God, for this gift of grace and mercy. We pray that you will heal our hearts and help us to share this truth with others who really, really need to know it. And all God's people said, amen.